Be good citizens. We've talked a lot about our identity in Christ, and that's where the letter has focused up until this point. But then it moves into these ethical sections. Because we are who we are in Christ, behave like this, is what it's saying. And we will see this morning that it has to do with how we relate to government. Be good citizens. I'll tell you, I've wrestled with this. In understanding what Peter wrote here is not hard. Understanding how to apply it today gets difficult. It really, there's just lots of things to consider. And in fact, you may not appreciate this message very much. Some of you will not like the application that I mentioned. If you are preparing yourself to participate in an armed rebellion against the government, you probably won't like this message. If you are part of a militia to take control of the streets, you may not like this message. If you think breaking windows and doors is the proper way to protest government, burning cars in the street, you're not going to like this. If you enjoy or promote cancel culture and putting your desires ahead of everything else, you probably won't like this message. If your kid doesn't get their way at school and your first move is to go berate the teacher and the principal and the superintendent on social media or in person, you're not going to like this message. Anybody's toes I haven't stepped on yet? Okay. You may not like the way I preach this. You are welcome to have an informed opinion. And in fact, you should check everything I preach against the scripture. You should. You must study it for yourself. You are not welcome to dismiss the scripture or to misuse it. If we dismiss scripture because we do not like it, we are rejecting God's word. If we're rejecting God's word, we're rejecting his will. Now, again, before we read, let me remind you of a few things. First of all, the original audience were people who were being threatened by government because they would not worship the emperor. They were literally being threatened and in some case hunted by the government. They were scattered throughout Asia Minor, as Peter called them, exiles scattered amongst the nations because many of them had to flee Rome just to save their lives. They were shunned from the marketplace if they were known as Christians. Sometimes arrested, tortured, and imprisoned. We've talked about the stories of Nero and his lot. He was evil. His actions were immoral. He was insane. And the government was carrying out his evil plans with the Christians as targets. That was the original audience. We need to keep that in mind. Now, let's talk about our situation and so that we can learn to apply this. The United States was born out of rebellion, wasn't it? The colonies rebelled against the English government because of unjust rule, because of unjust treatment, but we were born out of rebellion. No, we did it well. We won. We sent the others back home, some of them. It's part of who we are. And those of us raised in the South, we even call ourselves rebels, right? It's who we are. It's part of our psyche. Our ancestors rebelled against the federal government of the United States when they did not agree with federal rule. Now, regardless of whether you think that was just or unjust, it was rebellion. And we have been born and bred with a rebel streak in us. And it's not just white folks. If you were raised in the South, it really doesn't matter what color you are. You come with a bit of redneck, machismo, especially as it relates to the government, right? It's who we are. We're you know, John Wayne, we don't take anything off anybody, right? You're looking at me like I'm all by myself. So it's important that we remember our identity in Christ, who we are in Christ. Remember what we've read so far in 1 Peter. And if you haven't been here or you've forgotten since last week, then please spend some time today reading the first couple of chapters. Remember that Peter was chosen by Jesus Christ personally. Jesus picked him and made him a leader of the group. And Peter's testimony is that we have a salvation in Christ that will never fade, spoil, or rust. It will not diminish. It's as good as it was the first day, and it'll always be that good. You will not be plucked out of the Father's hand. And because we are chosen by God the Father, our salvation is secure. Last week we read that we are chosen by God. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We are God's special possession, His treasured possession. That means we're privileged people. Really, look at the list. We're chosen by God. We're royal priesthood, a chosen nation. We're His treasured possession. We are privileged people. We are free in Christ. We are even free to rebel and reject His ways. That's free will. We do not have to follow God's ways. We have the freedom to reject Him. Of course, that's sin, and it separates us from our Holy Father. Peter says that we need to, as Christians, we need to behave responsibly. We need to be respectful toward others, whether or not we are treated justly. He says we're to submit to government and be good citizens. And in the latter part of the chapter, we even find implications about how to be a good employee, believe it or not. Let's read from verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by Him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. And we'll stop right there for now. Now, as far as our nationality, our ethnicity, most of us are at home. I mean, the majority of us here were born in Texas. We're native. Or as the bumper stickers used to say, you got here as fast as you could, right? Even if you don't like living here, it's not a hard place to adopt. It's a pretty easy place to live. However, as citizens of God's kingdom, we are in a real sense sojourners, exiles in this world. This world is not our permanent home. And the more you live for Christ, the less at home you will feel in this world. The stranger it feels. He says, as exiles, we should be good citizens. Because we're citizens of God's kingdom, we should be good citizens in this kingdom as well. First of all, I think in the first paragraph we read there, he lays out a couple of broad principles, and then he begins to apply it to different situations. And those are abstain from sin and act right, basically. As followers of Christ, as people who carry his name, abstain from sin and live such good lives that the rumors about you are known to be false. Abstain from sin. What does that mean? Don't do it. It's just like your mama told you. Don't do it. Don't sin. Abstain from it. Run from it. Get away from it. Leave it out. It is warring against your soul. I like those words. That's what sin does. It's warring against your soul. Instead of acting like a sinner, acting like the pagans, he said, quit that and live such good lives above reproach so that people know the allegations made against you are rumors. They're false. Nero blamed the Christians for burning Rome. Even in his day, they knew that was false. He did it himself so he could rebuild the city. But he had blamed the Christians. Live such good lives that people think, it couldn't have been them that burned the city. Now, you're not going to be blamed. I don't think you're going to be blamed for burning the city. Please don't do that. But are you ever blamed for anything you didn't do? Or do you legitimately make people unhappy? We will, right? I mean, even when we're living right, somebody's going to be unhappy with us. How do we deal with it? Be good citizens. Let me ask you this. If you visit another country or you live in another country, are you obliged to follow their law? Or can you just say, I'm an American, I'll do it my way? You may not have a very pleasant experience if you do it that way. If you are in England and you choose to drive, on which side of the road are you going to drive? You better drive on the left, which ain't right. If you are visiting an Islamic country, you better know the rules. You better know how to get along there. Doesn't mean you have to become Muslim, but you better know how to get along in that country. Peter wrote that as long as we are living in a worldly kingdom, we must submit to the authorities. Oh, that just doesn't sound very comfortable, does it? Submit to the authorities. The first, like I said, the first people that were reading this or it was being read to them, they were not being treated like welcome citizens in their home country. They were being abused because of their religion. And Peter told them to submit to the authority, even the emperor. Look at verse 15 again. It is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. God's will. It is God's will for us to be such good citizens that our behavior silences ignorant talk of foolish people. Or maybe it doesn't silence it, but at least people know they're wrong. He did not say, go threaten the foolish people with your military grade carbine. Now, are all human authorities just? Is the government always right? I don't need an answer. Government is run by people. People make mistakes. Some of those people are evil. Some of them are very, very egotistical and they're in it for themselves. And sometimes it's wrong. Sometimes they just make mistakes. It's tough. they have a lot of decisions to make and not always the resources to do what needs to be done. And should we cancel them or fire them just because they make mistakes? Or as responsible Christian citizens, should we extend some grace? Now, the original audience was living under a dictator. The Roman Empire was meant to be a republic, but it was run like a dictatorship, at least at that point. I mean, and the government was carrying out the dictator's wishes with full force and sovereignty. And yet Peter said to obey. And we read later in the chapter, he acknowledges that it will probably hurt. And you will suffer. And when you do, remember who suffered for you. We'll get there in a moment. Scripture tells us that God puts kings and kingdoms in place. Do you think in the first century they thought, wow, God put Nero in this job? I don't think it felt like that, do you? How about our recent presidents, plural? Does it feel like they're God's people put in place by God? Or does it feel like it's out of control? So we need to put our trust in God. He has a plan, and He will settle the books. I remind you that in the Old Testament, we learn about Israel's history, and after they rebelled against God for generations, God moved pagan kings and kingdoms against Israel for judgment. He put bad kings in place in Israel to usher in that judgment because Israel had rebelled against Him. Now, the United States has rejected God's rule. Absolutely. As a nation, we have. And it even seems strange, doesn't it, to live in a nation that was once known as a Christian nation, and yet we're not invited, we're not even welcome to speak the rule of the Bible into public forum? It's no longer welcome, and yet it wasn't that long ago that we were considered a Christian nation. The truth of God's word is no longer acceptable in public forum. It's no longer the standard used to rule our people. We are exiles in this world. Get used to it. Peter said, live as free citizens, but do not use your freedom to cover up evil. What did he mean by that? Do not think that because we have free speech, you can say anything you want, anywhere you want, anytime you want, on any venue you want. That's not what free speech means. And if you are concerned about representing Christ well, you'll guard your words. Do not think that because we have freedom to drink or use whatever substance, that it's okay to do that in public and risk other people's peace and welfare. While I'm ranting, it is never, ever okay to drink and drive. You see? I don't care if you have freedom to use it. It's not okay to act like that and call yourself a Christian. Do not hide your bad choices behind freedom. Now, I could rant for a while on that one. I don't want to rant this morning. Does government always act justly? No. And we could ask that question of every level of government. County, city, state, federal government. The answer would be the same. No, it does not always get it right. As I've already said, it seems like our national government has completely lost the plot. And I bet people in the first century felt that way about Nero and the Roman government. But Peter said, don't sin and try to hide it as freedom. Look at verse 17 again. It says to show proper respect for whom? Everyone. That's kind of broad. It's not kind of broad, it's real broad. Show proper respect to everyone. Christians, he says, should love each other. That's what disciples of Jesus do. We love each other. Some of you are not very lovable. That's a joke. Your mama loves you. Honor the emperor? But he's not honorable. Peter knew he wasn't. He said, honor the emperor and the governors. Does it mean you have to agree with them? No. It doesn't. We are very fortunate to live in a democracy. We are invited to participate in government. So do it. It's our obligation, really. Vote. Get appointed to committees and boards. Run for office. Protest peacefully. Our Constitution invites us to protest peacefully. That doesn't mean breaking doors and windows. Aim to make change within the system. We are duty bound to participate. Some of y'all are old enough to remember Paul Harvey. He said often, freedom requires responsibility. I think that's a pretty good application of what Peter's saying here. We need to behave well, like citizens of the kingdom, even though we live in an unjust, cruel world. And it will feel like that world's coming against you at times. Well, then he took the ethic a little further and applied it to house servants or slaves of the day. And we're going to read that section here from verse 18, but listen to me. This scripture does not justify slavery. That is not at all what Peter was doing. He was speaking to a reality in the kingdom at the time. It is an absolute misuse of this scripture or any like it to use it to justify slavery. I read that there was an estimated 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. I had to go count the zeros to make sure I understood that right. 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. You see, if you were born Roman, you figured you didn't need to work. There were other people to do that. Your job was to enjoy whatever you wanted to enjoy. And so if they conquered your nation, you became a slave. If you were just lower status, you became a slave. And many of the people that Peter was writing to were slaves or bondservants in some form or fashion. I said we were going to read from 18. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called. Did he really write that? You were called to suffer? To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin. He had no deceit. No deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly, meaning his Father. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to our sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Why submit to your master? In reverent awe of God. Even if your master is harsh. That does not sound very American. We would rather fight. remember who you are as representatives of Christ. Is this countercultural? The more we live for Christ, the more we will find ourselves going against culture. Now, I don't think anybody here is a slave. I know some of you moms feel like it at times. But can we apply this to being an employee or to supervising employees? Do the principles equate? Can we learn something from this scripture, how to be good employees? Is it good advice for the workplace? Even if you're being done wrong, act like a citizen of heaven. Even when you're being done wrong, act like a citizen of heaven. If you suffer, remember you are called to suffer in the image of Christ. You say, but he was God, he was perfect. Yes, he was. And he submitted to the will of his Father. Does it make sense to say we need to learn to suffer well? We know there's hardship. We know not everything will be just. In those circumstances, we need to still do well. We need to live like citizens of God's kingdom. Now, Jesus knew that he was called to the death on the cross, and he did not retaliate. He did not threaten those who were threatening him. You know, he could have called legions of angels to rescue him from arrest or trial or execution. He could have commanded an earthquake to swallow up those people who were coming against him. He could have called down fire from heaven, but he didn't. He was obedient to the Father so that we might die to sin and live righteously, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's unjust. Is your salvation amazing or what? You were lost. Peter says, you used to be a bunch of lost people. That original audience, they were pagans. He said, you used to be going astray, but you have returned to the Good Shepherd. Act like you belong to him. Even when you're being treated unjustly, even when everything seems like it's coming against you, act like you belong to Jesus. You see, when we sign on with Jesus, we forfeit rebellious behavior. And that can apply in a lot of different areas of life. We've talked about two of those this morning: how to relate to government, how to relate to our employer. Next week, how to relate to our family. And it's equally uncomfortable. It starts off with that word we don't like, submit. I know right now some of you are itching to pull me aside after the service and say, there is a time to resist. Yes, I know. There is. In a broken world, there are times when we will have to fight. Peter wasn't saying, never defend yourself. It's not what he was saying. He would have told them, do not declare Caesar is Lord. And that's why they were in the fix they were in, because they would not say that Caesar was Lord. You don't have to do everything government says, especially when it's morally wrong or it's harmful. There will be a time to resist, but it's not just because we're uncomfortable or we're angry or we have to pay some taxes. How many of you are going to have to write a check here in a month to the government? Yeah. It stinks, doesn't it? You know they're not going to be responsible with it. What did Peter say? What did Jesus say to Peter earlier than this? Give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. Is there a time that you have to tell your boss or your company, nope, I can't do that. I will not do that. Yeah. There's going to be that time. It may cost you your job. It may cost you a promotion. You may just have to leave because you know that it goes against God's kingdom. It's unethical or unlawful or immoral. When that comes, when that time comes, be prepared to give a defense to the gospel with respect, in respect. Are there times to resist government? Yes. Does it mean bomb abortion clinics? No. If at all possible, it should be done peacefully, wisely, while upholding the decency and honor of Christ's name. I don't think I'm a pacifist. I don't think Jesus was a pacifist. I don't. Now, he did not use force, but I don't think he was a pacifist. Let me ask you this. Did he win? He won. His methods won for you. And he did say that we should turn the other cheek. I told you at the beginning, you're very welcome to study this for yourself. I encourage you to. I encourage you to discuss this with each other. I'm happy to discuss it with you. I don't think it's easy to apply this in today's world. I don't think it was easy to apply it in the first century. I think we need to struggle with it. Listen to some other teachers. I'll recommend one, Alistair Begg, truthforlife.com or .org or whatever it is, or listen to his podcast. I listened to a sermon of his on this specific scripture, and toward the end of it, he said, it is important to know who you are, it's important to know what you believe, and it is important to behave like followers of Jesus Christ. Pretty good summary. I know this is a monologue, so we don't get to discuss, right? But we can in our small groups, and I'm very happy to have coffee and talk this over. I want to learn, but I know that we have to continue to prepare ourselves to live as outcasts in this world. And we must represent the name of Christ above our own. Above our own feelings and emotions, we live for Christ. Know who you are and know whose you are. Amen? All right, I want to invite the music team to come.